Make my hands your hand.
My sin, you, my God, heal my brokenness, in you, my God, my life redeemed, you crown me with love and with mercy. Sing, oh my soul, oh my soul. Thank you.
Everybody, let's worship the Lord. Today is Pentecost Sunday. Stand up.
Stand again, and I choose to praise to glory. choose to praise, to glorify, glorify the name of all names. Then nothing can stand against. Oh yes, I will lift you high in the lowest valley. Yes, I will bless your name. For joy when my heart is heavy all my days. Oh yes, I will for all my days. Oh yes, I will for all my days. Oh yes, I will.
Your name from the rooftop.
Everybody, how you doing? Good. That's good. I'm glad you are. All right. Let's take a look here. See what we got today. We're going to go to our prayer concerns kind of part in this in the service. Let's see. So we have a couple prayers lifted up. Lou for healing. Good to see you, Lou. How you doing? Lainey, unspoken prayers. Lift her up. Praise God for Haven. Welcome back, Bill, right? So we have that, too. We're good. How you feeling? Everybody feeling good?
Yes.
All right, good. All right, so good. There you go, Joy. We got that. Just real quick, any other prayers that we just want to touch on? I know sometimes people forget to put them down. Just kind of wanted to address real quick. Go ahead, Lisa. Yes, I do want to touch on this. For Heather Walters, many of you know Heather Walters. Her mother was killed last night in an accident, hit head-on by a drunk driver. So, so we found that out today, and we want to definitely go ahead and lift Heather and the family in your prayers with this tragedy going.
I want to lift my brother up again.
Yes. So that's for Paul Smith. We lifted him up last week, and we want to continue to lift him up. They thought they were going to be able to do surgery, but they are not able to do that right now. So we just want to continue to pray for Paul in that. We also want to lift up Shelley and family as we celebrated Vince's life yesterday, but continue to lift Shelley and the family up in this. As we lost Vince way too young at 49, almost 50, and so just ask that God be with that family and everyone involved. I know we did have a joy this week. Debbie DiVirgilio and Pete are now grandparents, so we're thankful for Dan and Brielle and them, so we're thankful for this new addition in their lives as well. We're thankful that we have all the chairs out, and I can see some of your, and we can see some of your faces, and so we're glad that God is moving in that direction. But again, we just want people to do what you feel you need to, and we understand that. And within the guys, man, this has been a long, long year. I ask you to continue to pray for me. When you talk about the Holy Spirit, a lot of things happen. Okay, so. A lot of times you're being attacked, your family's attacked, you're personally attacked, so just recognize that I need your prayers more than ever, all right? So I ask that you do that for me continually. I also ask that you lift up Mary Heath, who is my friend Paul's mother, who is now on hospice at his house, and continue to pray for her, and my friend Hessel, two of my best friends, my friend Hessel, who his mother, who is also on hospice, and so we want to lift both of them up in your prayers. A lot of tragedy this year. A lot of tragedy from our way, but maybe this is all part of the Lord returning soon. And I'm like, hey, I got time this afternoon, Jesus. Let's go. So I'm ready for it. Anybody else? I used to always say, oh no, Lord, just wait. And I'm like, just come on. I'm done. All right. So let's pray. Lord God, we just come to you today. We want to lift up. There's so many needs, so many prayers, so many. You know, we have some joys in the midst of that, the joys of births, the joys of celebrations. Many are graduating. I know for the McCusker family, they celebrated Thomas's graduation from college, and so many others in this room. We know that those are going to be looking toward high school graduation here in a bit. But God, whatever it is, I just ask that your presence be very, not only here, but that it be felt. That it be experienced in our lives. For those that we lifted up on the prayer list, and even a prayer for Haven Church, God, I think that you move in spite of me. I think that you that your Holy Spirit guides us and directs us. And God, when life takes turns, and a year full of twists and turns that we don't know the answers, and we ask why, and we have all kinds of question marks, and we don't understand. That ultimately help us to remember that you are God and that you've got everything under control. Even though it seems like the world is spinning around us, you have everything in control. I thank you for healings in individuals here. I thank you that we have every single chair out. I thank you for those who made it possible for the last several months and the year that we can have our worship together by doing things. And God, I just thank you. Ultimately, for your presence and your Holy Spirit that we are speaking about today that fell on that day of Pentecost some 2,000 plus years ago, And for that, that's what gave us power in your church, and that's what gives us the strength to carry on. So as we talk about that today, I ask that your Holy Spirit speak to us in a different way, that we approach church differently today. We don't approach it as just coming and doing, but we approach it as meeting with you and your presence, and God, that we experience everything that you have to offer. And God, if you want to do a second Pentecost here today, we'll go for it, because we need it. In your name we pray. Amen. All right, Sunday school. We're still rolling with Sunday school and nursery. And as I said, in the meantime, we're sort of doing we're doing some of the registration just to, in the beginning, to work on contact tracing and everything else. But we are thrilled to see these numbers starting to drop, you know, in certain areas. But to continue to pray for places like India, which is out of control still. And I understand from some friends in Toronto, they're beginning to open up Toronto more now this weekend. So we're thankful for that as well. Youth group is going to continue to meet. And so you can check out about that information. Crisis, we have our Stephen Ministry. And don't forget, June 20th is Father's Day. And on that day, we're going to take in our baby bottles. So you can take one of the baby bottles out there. Don't drink it. Don't drink from it. I wouldn't. You don't know what's on it. But go ahead, take it. Fill it with change, checks, money, whatever, mortgage payment, I don't care, whatever you want to do. All that will go to the Cecil County Pregnancy Center, and they will go ahead and use that to help those in our community. So it's a great avenue to do that as well. All right, everybody good? Let's go. We're going to talk about the Holy Spirit today. We have been doing this series on the Holy Spirit. It's really interesting how it followed the Minefield series, because the Minefield series talked about getting our minds right and breaking down those strongholds. And some of those strongholds are really difficult to break down, aren't they? Those strongholds are very, very difficult to break down. And so once we get to this point, sometimes we need the Holy Spirit to break those down. And other times we just need to a good dose of the Holy Spirit to keep us going. And so we talked about over the last couple weeks how one of the things about a series on the Holy Spirit is because we all come from different places. Remember last week we kind of did a little bit about who's Baptist, Methodist, whatever, good old sinners, those kind of things. Remember we went through some of those areas and we talked about if you're Pentecostal, raise both hands and that kind of stuff. But in the midst of, yeah, there you go, Patty was not here. So, and what we were talking about is because we all bring to the table something here. We bring to the table some kind of preconceived thing about church and Holy Spirit. And so I want to the challenge is to bring us all together in a place. And so that's kind of where we are today. And last week I kind of started with Baptists, Methodists, whatever, change the light bulb. I remember those. So today I just thought I'd share with you a story about a Baptist preacher who, and his wife, they decided they wanted to get a new dog. Anybody gotten a new dog in the last year or so? A new dog, okay. So you might have a new dog. So they decided to do that, and they were thinking about their congregation when they got this. So they knew that the dog needed to be a Baptist dog. All right. So they visited kennel upon kennel and explained their needs, where some gave them that same kind of look that you guys just get, a what? And finally they found a kennel whose owner assured them he had the dog they wanted. So the owner brought the dog to the pastor, and he said, "You sure it's Baptist?" He said, "Yes, watch this." And he said, "Fetch the Bible." And the dog went to a bookshelf, pulled off the Bible, King James because it's Baptist, grabbed it, brought it over, and handed it to the person who said that. And they were like amazed. And he said, "Okay." And he put it down. He said, "Find the 23rd Psalm." And the dog just right there, got to it, put its paw right down on it. "The Lord is my shepherd," I said. They're like, "Oh my gosh, this is amazing, amazing this." So the pastor said, "Yeah, definitely. This is the dog that we want. We definitely want this Baptist dog." So they got the dog, and that evening they had a group of church members that came over. And the pastor and his wife began to show off the dog. They had him locate several Bible verses, and obviously the visitors were extremely impressed from the church. And so one of the visitors said, this is amazing, but does it do regular dog tricks?" He's like, "You know, we never figured that out. We never thought." So the pastor said, "Let me find out." And he called the dog over and he said, "Heel." And immediately the dog jumped on top of
the chair and put his paw right on someone's head and lifted the other paw on the head, and he said, "Good Lord, we got a Pentecostal dog instead." There you go. All right, got the Pentecostal dog. There we go. There is a lot of confusion over the Holy Spirit. The book of Acts is the fifth book in the New Testament. Follows the Gospels, and it is really a record of the early church, but more importantly, it is a record of the Holy Spirit's work in the early church. And so our theme verse has been the same one that we've been using from Acts 19. It has been one that we talked about. The church has been going on for some time. A lot of times we look and we leaf through chapters, we think it's just a couple weeks, but this is several years had gone by at this time. And so you have, once again, while Apollos was in Corinth, Paul took the road through the interior and arrived at Ephesus. Those are two books that Paul wrote letters to, the book of the Ephesians, and we have a couple that are given to Corinthians. And there he found some disciples and asked them, "Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed?" So Paul was excited. He got to Ephesus and found some people who believed in Jesus, who were Christians. And he was excited about them. And he said, "Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed?" Realize there's two things there. It's not their salvation. They were saved. They believed in Jesus as their Savior and Lord. But Paul's asking about something else. Did you receive the Holy Spirit when they believed? And then they said this. They said, "No, we haven't even heard that there's a Holy Spirit." And Paul said, "Wait a second here." And so what he found out is that there was some confusion in the early church, that there was some lack of knowledge that happened here. And so in the midst of that, it's a lot like today. A lot like today, there's a lot of people who know about Jesus. They know about God the Father. But this Holy Spirit thing is kind of mixed up a little bit. Some are freaked out by it, and some are completely scared by it. Some are just like, "I don't want to talk about it." Some are way into it. So we want to look at that. And so week one, we explained the person, not the it, of the Holy Spirit. We talked about the two languages of the Old Testament and the New Testament, and I gave you two words. You remember? Anybody remember the Hebrew word? Ruach. Remember, you don't have a mask on. Ruach. Okay, so it's kind of in the throat there. For some of you, don't have that on. So, but it means a wind, a breath, a violent exhalation, and a blast of breath. In the Greek New Testament, we have the term. You remember what that is? Pneuma, which is where we get our term pneumonia, and it is a current of air, a blast of breath, a strong breeze. And so we talked about the translators, how they really use this term Holy Spirit or Holy Ghost to kind of, it sounds better than holy breath, right? Or holy blast of air. You know, I mean, it sounds different. So they had a struggle in order to go ahead and do that. So they filled that. But last week we talked about another term, a term that kind of freaks people out. Charisma or charismatic, and it's about gifts, and we thought it was all about snakes and stuff, but it wasn't that. Nothing could be further away from the truth. It's about a grace gift or a gift given by God, and we went through some of those grace gifts. Today we're going to kick into another one, and it's a perfect day to do it because it's the day of Pentecost, and we're going to talk about the term Pentecostal. And a lot of people think that means you got to wear a lot of makeup or none at all when you talk about Pentecostal. And it's not either one of those. It is a day, actually, and that's what we're going to talk about. And so what we see in the scripture, we see in Acts chapter 2, which was at the beginning of that, in that video that we read for us, it said, "When the day of Pentecost came." Now, let me give you some background history. Jesus came, lived 33 years, he died on a cross. 3 days later, he arose from the dead, and he spent 40 days in his glorified body talking to people. The Apostle Paul says he talked to over 500 people and appeared to them. He said, you can ask them, although many have already died when Paul was writing that letter. He said, he appeared to me as well. And so we have this nature that Jesus spent those 40 days kind of popping in through doors and locked doors and windows and all kinds of stuff like that. And this happened time and time again. And when he ascended, then 10 days later, he had told them, go back to Jerusalem and wait. 10 days later, the Holy Spirit fell and poured out on the believers and did some amazing things. So Pentecost is, and we're going to talk about this, is one of the seven prime Jewish holidays. They had three major holidays, though, that were celebrated So they had seven altogether, but they had three that were celebrated that were the major ones, the big ones. It's kind of like, you know, we have Arbor Day. Anybody's like celebrate trees that day? Okay, but then what do we have big time? We have Christmas. We have Thanksgiving. I get a lot more excited about Christmas and Thanksgiving than I do Arbor Day. Now we're going to have Memorial Day where we take off a little bit, you know. But so we have some more major ones. Chancellor said Christmas, Easter, Thanksgiving. That are probably our three biggest ones. And when we look here, they had some three major holidays. And we're going to talk about what those are. Now, each of these holidays have unique characteristics to them. And Jesus, what he did is use the Jewish holidays to explain what he wanted to do. But there's a problem with that. The Jews understand it. We don't. We don't even understand what these things mean. You know why? They aren't our holidays. They aren't what we are used to celebrating. So I want to. Here's what I'm going to do today. I want to explain the holidays and get clarity and understanding of what God has for you and the plan that he has for your life. That's what I'm going to share here today. Okay, I'm going to head forward in this today. But before I go there, I do want to say one other thing. I mentioned that Bell was here, but there he is back there. Bell is back. He's been away for a year, and he's back in the military, and so we're thankful for everything he's doing. I know those kids are happy and to have him back as well, so we're thankful for that. But all right, so here we go. So Pentecost brought the Holy Spirit and Bell. There we go. That's how it works. So what we're going to talk about is this. So let's look at the first one. And this is why I want to share this, because a lot of times we talk Old Testament. I think wrongly the Christian church has had, oh, there's the Old Testament and there's the New Testament. And a lot of people think the Old Testament's just gone, but it's not. So let's look at this thing from Matthew chapter 5, verse 17. Here's what he says here. Do not think that I have come to abolish the law and the prophets, the law being those first five Pentateuch books that were written and people attribute them to Moses. And then the rest of it is kind of like prophets. There's some poetry and other things. But he's really saying the Jewish scriptures, I didn't come to do away with them, but I have come not to abolish them, but to fulfill them. And that's what we're going to talk about. Jesus came to fulfill them, and he has a plan for our lives. And I believe that it's revealed in some of these three holidays and purposes. So hopefully this will help you out here. You ready? All right, so the first holiday is Passover. Passover. So we have Passover. Now, the celebration of Passover is one, and I'll fill in the blank in a little bit, so hang in there. The celebration of Passover is one that you may know. It is a celebration of the Hebrew people coming out of Egypt. They went down there originally because of a famine. When they got there, they got stuck or stayed there for 400 years. They were enslaved, and they built many things, and they were used by Pharaoh to do all the kind of labor. And they prayed and cried out, and God raised up a deliverer. His name was Moses. Okay, you remember Moses? Okay, you're probably thinking of Charlton Heston right now. Moses, right? So you have that. So Moses came to be their deliverer. As he approached Pharaoh decided he didn't want to let him go, or Pharaoh would say, hey, I'll let you go. Psych, I was just joking about it. And so what ended up happening, God provided 10 plagues. 10 plagues. The frogs one seems pretty bad. I think we're in the midst of one, the locusts, if you're near those. Cicadas, they're out there this year. But that came in a swarm. Did anybody see this past year, the locusts that were just tearing things up, that people walk out and they're everywhere? I mean, that is of biblical proportion. So that's what happened. So many different things, turning the water to blood. These were some of the different things that they had. So we get up to the point of the 10th plague. And the 10th plague was one that God said the firstborn male in every household will die. As the angel of death passes by, the firstborn of every household in Egypt will die. And so in order to keep the Hebrew people safe, what they would do is they had a door frame, and they would kill a lamb. They would go ahead and dip a blood in there, and they paint all around the jamb of the door, the top and the sides. And what would happen is, as the angel of death was coming by, it would see the blood and keep going. All right? And in a sense, what would he do? Or the angel, he would pass over. That's why we get Passover. So there we go. So it is the Passover. And so God said, after some time, he said, hey, I want you to celebrate and remember. God is big on us remembering what he did. I think it's because we forget, after God does something, we quickly forget what he does. And we move on to, oh, where are you now? And God does something and we move on and forget. Like, thanks God, and we move on. So I think he wants us to do things to celebrate, just like Jesus said. And it's interesting that it was a Passover meal that Jesus was doing, and he said to them, this is my body which is broken for you. This is my cup, whatever you went doing communion. By doing so, Jesus took that God had redeemed his people from Israel, and he had sanctified them and made them whole. So hang in here. We're going to get here. So here's what God wanted them to celebrate. And this is really, really cool. I mean, I can't make this up how cool it is. So God said, here's how I want you to celebrate to remember. So here's what you're going to do. The Passover lamb was sacrificed at 9 a.m. It was put in the oven at 3 p.m. And the sacrifice of that was to cover their sins during that time, all right, passing over. So everybody understand this? So we have lamb sacrificed at 9 a.m., put in the oven at 3 p.m., and the sacrifice covered their sins. Ready for how Jesus did this? So Jesus fulfilled this. It's interesting that when Jesus gave his life up, it was Passover. Keep that in mind. And they were celebrating a Passover meal, and Jesus was crucified on Passover. So what we find out from the scriptures is Jesus was sacrificed at 9 a.m. on the cross. He was nailed to the cross. At 3 p.m., he was put in the tomb. And his sacrifice removes our sins. Isn't that cool? Isn't that awesome? I mean, I think that's really, really cool. See, Jesus said, I didn't come to get away with that old order of things. Because what happens now is through his sacrifice, through his death and resurrection, and his sacrifice and blood removing our sin, now death has no power over us. And death has to eventually, we may die in this body, but we have new life in Christ. To be absent from the body is present with the Lord. Because now sin is removed from us. And he says, I separate your sins as far as the east is to the west. And you say, well, Jack, are you making this up? I'm going to say no, because in 1 Corinthians, the Apostle Paul writes, for Christ, our Passover lamb, has been sacrificed. And so it's no mistake that that happens. So what is Passover? What is the blank for Passover? Passover is salvation. The holiday represents that you can be saved. And it stands on its own. I talked a little bit about this last week. It stands all on its own. That God's got a lot more for you. You can't buy it. You can't earn it. It is a free gift from God. And, you know, it's interesting. God doesn't give you all your knowledge and all your Bible reading and all your skills and all that sharing and all that stuff in your salvation. It's just here for you. Because it's free, and God wants you, as I talked about last week, to do some other things to grow and earn in that. Because look, this verse that we used from last week from Ephesians, it says, it is by grace, remember we talked about grace, it's that charis, it's that gift that we don't deserve, that you have been saved through faith, and it is not from yourself, but it is the charisma, the gift of God that we have, that's there, all right? So we have that there. It is Jesus' free gift, and all we need to do is say, I'll take it, I surrender, and we talked about gifts last week. You say, Jack, again, why are you saying this? Because the next gifts and things that we went through last week said we have to do something. And I challenge you, if you missed last week, go ahead and look at that on the web about charisma, the gifts of the Spirit. So you ready for the second holiday? The second holiday is what is celebrated today, Pentecost. Pentecost. And I'm gonna tell you what the word means. It means, if there's any math people, it means to the 10th power. Or 50. Now I'm gonna show you how scary it is. 50. Anybody freaking out? But you say Pentecost, it'd be, whoa, what? So I am technically a real Pentecostal. I am 50 this year. Okay? By being 50, why? Because it is 50 days after Passover that this occurs. It is, so for us, it would be 7 weeks after Easter, 50 days after that. Here we have this day of Pentecost. Now, what is Pentecost originally? It is the celebration of the law being given to Moses on Mount Sinai, where there was an earthquake and there was fire and there was, you know, clouds and there was Charlton Heston and there was this lightning bolt that, I am the Lord your God, boom, right? Remember that? And he's like, oh, right? Anybody remember this but me? Help me out, okay? And so that's what we think of. And Charlton Heston's hair got whiter every time he met. Remember? That's how they depicted him, I guess, seeing the face of God and whatever. But that happened time and time again. And you don't know what I'm talking about, go ahead. Movie called The Ten Commandments. Watch it. It's pretty cool. All right. So this is what's going on in getting this law from God. And what was interesting at that point, you also remember when he received the law, he came down and people were down there and they were reveling and they were worshiping the golden calf, and Moses got mad and the earth opened up and they killed 3,000 of them that day. Remember that? That's part of what we don't understand and fully see with this. And so let me tell you what went on that day in addition to this. On that first day when the law was given, we have that a cloud descended with loud noise and fire. God wrote his law on tablets of stone. Any Mel Brooks fans, these 15... Ten Commandments from History of the World. Anybody remember that? All right. So he wrote them on tablets of stone. And 3,000 people died because of their worship of the Baal-like God. Okay. Let's fast forward. The New Testament. They were all together in one place, praying, and all of a sudden, on this day of Pentecost, here's what happened. The Holy Spirit descended with a loud sound and with fire. God wrote his law not on tablets, but on their hearts. And on our hearts. And you know what's really, really awesome? And you can look at it in the book of Acts, chapter 2. It said, when Peter stood up and preached, 3,000 people came into the church that day. Isn't that awesome? That what the law couldn't do, Jesus fulfilled in the midst of that. And in Acts chapter 1, it says, after his suffering, he presented himself to them and gave them many convincing proofs that he was alive. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days and spoke about the kingdom of God. And on one occasion, while he was eating with them, he gave them this command: do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father has promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized in the Holy Spirit. And you may say, okay, why, Jack? Because he says in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, but you will receive, here it is, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in Judea, and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. You see, in order for salvation, we don't need much except for just to say, God, I want you. I need you in my life. I am accepting you, Jesus, as my Savior. And he says, boom, there you go. That's all I have to do, is just accept it. Just accept the gift from there. And that is Passover. All right? But in Pentecost, I need something else from God in order to do what he has called me to do. What is that? To be witnesses in the entire world. In other words, it would say that God says, I need you to have my power, which is through the Holy Spirit. I need to write my law on your heart so it's not a weighty thing, but it's something that becomes part of what you want to do. And the job is that I need you to go into Northeast, to Cecil County, to Maryland, to the regional area, to the United States, to Haiti, to around the world, to share the good news of me to the ends of the earth and tell people about me. And Jesus is saying that. Pentecost is not about wild services and people hanging from chandeliers. It's about 50 and power. So what is it about? Pentecost is simply this, and here's the blank. It is the power to make a difference in a world that so needs it. That I am too weak to bring about, that you are too weak to bring about, that we need the Spirit of God to empower us. Amen. Let me ask you, if you're looking through the Gospels and you read about Simon Peter, what do you think about this guy? Just in the Gospels. Big talk and luff, that he's always open in mouth, insert foot, that he even, when the going gets tough, he runs from Jesus. He actually curses that he ever knew him. He goes to that. And when you look at all the other disciples, they all scatter when something happens to Jesus. They were hiding in a room, and Jesus, in those 40 days, popped in and said, "Hey, here I am." And Thomas said, "I wasn't there. I'm not going to believe it." Sees him again. They go fishing because guess what? They didn't know what else to do, and they stink at fishing. They don't catch anything at all. They're fishermen that catch nothing. Have you noticed that? And then they're fishing, and all of a sudden, somebody's on the beach and says, hey, catch your nets on the other side. That tells you how bad they are at fishing. Somebody on the shore is telling fishermen what to do. And the boat isn't as big as a stage. The other side of the boat, like the fish are hanging out there. They do it, and then they have the nets about ready to break, and John says, "It's the Lord." Peter jumps in the water, swims there, pulls the boat up there, and he goes, and Jesus meets with them, and then he ascends, and he says, "Hey, go back to Jerusalem." They go back to Jerusalem. Here's this Simon Peter, who Jesus then at the beach says, "Do you love me? Do you love me?" And he gets mad. "Yes, Lord, you know I love you." He tells him to feed his sheep, to feed his lambs. They go back to Jerusalem and they wait and they decide to have a nomination to personnel committee because they didn't know what to do. Let's replace Judas. That's what they do. Because Jesus didn't say go back and replace them. He said go back and wait. But we don't know what to do. But then the Holy Spirit fell and that same loud talking imbecile Peter stands up in power and might and says, this is what the prophet Joel talked about. He had a word of knowledge that he never had before. He had a boldness he never had before. And the Spirit of God spoke to people like it never had before. And guess what? Later on, Peter and John are going up to the temple and praising. And they heal somebody and it causes a problem. They get arrested and they're glad. And they're getting beaten for the Lord and they're glad. It's not the same person because it got tougher for every one of those disciples. But it was the power of God that had him through it, to the point when Simon Peter, and I mentioned this last week, when he was going to be crucified, he said, "I'm not worthy," tradition tells us, "to be crucified in the same way as Jesus, crucify me upside down." Does that sound like the same person who said, I told you I never knew him. You know why? Because it's not. Because he had an experience where the fire of God fell on his life and the power of God lived within him. He had the power to make a difference because of Jesus. God has a job for us to do. He needs to empower his church to pull off whatever he has called us to do. And I'm going to tell you right now, every single person, I don't care how strong you are, we're too weak to do it without the Spirit of God. Amen. So that's Pentecost. So we have Passover and Pentecost, 50. So you're still not freaked out. All right. Next one is this one called Tabernacles. Tabernacles. And this one occurs more toward the fall, the harvest time that's here. And Tabernacles is to celebrate the wandering of the Israelites in the desert. Now, they had a four-day trip that took them 40 years. They didn't have GPS. They got there before, but they were too afraid to go in. And they said, no. So they just kind of wandered around in the desert. And only two who started the journey went in, Joshua and Caleb. And a tabernacle is something like we would call a tent. Okay, it's just like a tent. And they were celebrating the wandering because they didn't have a permanent home. So let's look at some of the things that Tabernacles celebrates here. The number one, it's celebrating their wandering and living in temporary huts or tents. Okay, set up shop, pick up, go. And still in the Middle East, there are people who are Bedouins that kind of live in this kind of manner. But what was interesting is after the 40 years, they were brought to their final home, the promised land of God. And then they used it to celebrate a harvest as well in the midst of this. So this is where it was, a celebrated harvest. So how do we celebrate with how Jesus fulfilled? We are living in a temporary earth. I was just thinking, I got to repent of loving it here too much. Like, I love some of the old gospel songwriters who talked all about heaven. I'll fly away. When we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that'll be. Beulah Land. Anybody got any other ones? They're out there. Tons of them. Most of, like, these songs that were written were talked about, man, I'm here, but I've got a place that's so much better. I got a home for me, and that's where I can't wait to get to. And a lot of ours have changed about, oh, God, thank you for being here, and that's good because we are here. But we are temporary, and we are living in huts. Because guess what? Here's a realization. Everything you built, everything you own, everything you wear, everything you have is going to one day have somebody else living in it, somebody else driving it, in a junkyard, in a resale shop, or thrown away. Everything. Not one thing we're taking with us, except for the faith in Jesus Christ. So we are living in a temporary earth with temporary stuff. And that's good to know if you're going through something that it's temporary. Because guess what? God has the final say. And that's why the disciples, I think that's why they got to the point of saying, you know what? Go ahead and kill me. Good. Paul said, if you kill me, then I'm freed from this prison I call my flesh. And I can be present with the Lord. Because he knew something better awaited him. So that's one thing. And what is that? That we are going to be brought to our final home, which is heaven. Jesus said, I go to prepare a place for you. I want to see that place. You know, I'm like not in a hurry today, but unless he returns, go for it. You know what I mean? But I get to go there. I know that I got a place in heaven that has my name on it. And I don't even know it's my name because I'm going to get a new one. That's awesome. I'm excited about that. All right. And there will be a great final harvest of people. Do you realize that more people have accepted Christ from 2000 to 2020 than from Jesus to 2000 altogether? I'm going to say that again so y'all get it. More people have accepted Jesus from 2000 to 2020 than from Jesus to 2000. In 20 years, the harvest is plentiful. So you say, hey, is Jesus returning? He could be. And man, I pray he does soon. We are living in a harvest generation, although it doesn't seem like it, but we are. And if we look at 1 Thessalonians, here's what Jesus says. It says, for the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a loud command, with the voice of the archangel and the trumpet call of God. The dead in Christ will rise first, and after that, we who are still alive and are left will be caught up together with him in the clouds and meet in the Lord in the air. And so we will be with the Lord, how long? Forever. Now I want to share with you something here that many people have questions. Can you go back a slide here? It talks about the dead in Christ rise first, and a lot of people go, what does that mean? What does that mean? What does that mean? This is fallen. This is broken. This goes in the ground. To be absent from the body means I'm absent from this body and present with the Lord. So I'm body, soul, spirit. My body's here. My soul, spirit goes to be with the Lord. Everybody with me? But when Jesus returns, the rapture, that body puts on imperishability and gets changed. And I get that. This thing becomes perfect. And it flies with a big S on my chest. I got a cape. I don't know about you guys. Right? And so if I'm dead, that body, and we see this because in Matthew, Matthew gets really excited talking about when Jesus was crucified. And then he says, and a lot of tombs of righteous people broke open and people came out and they were walking around and then they were there. Why? Because at the resurrection, when Jesus resurrected from the dead, all those who looked forward to him, David and all those others, boom, who were sinful, they got a bodily resurrection. And that was the first part. And the rapture, we get to meet him in the air So that means I get to meet all those people who I love, who their bodies are buried, but they're present with the Lord, that their spirit and body comes together, and I meet them next to Jesus in the air, and I'm flying, and I'm like, this is awesome. Because it's not only, you know, you ever been on a plane before? Who's been on a plane before? Okay. Anybody remember your first flight? Like, you got some nerves. But then you kind of, some of you may have got sick, threw up. But, like, you remember, like, the first one you're really excited about? I remember when we took the kids when they were little. They just want to sit by the window. They were just so excited like that. And you know, I can't wait to be excited to fly and know that I'm headed to a destination where I'm going to be forever with the Lord. Right? The Jewish people also call this, which is interesting, it says the archangel and the trumpet call, they also call this the Feast of Trumpets. So this is really cool. So if you ever wondered why it says the dead in Christ rise first, that's why. Tabernacles is simply this, the second coming of Christ. What you need to know is this. It all begins with Passover, which means it begins with the cross. You got to get still the cross with Jesus Christ. You got to go ahead and say, Lord, I want you to put the blood of Jesus around my life so that death passes by me. And after you've received that salvation, recognize that he has an assignment for you, and you need the power. You need that 50, that Pentecost, to get you the power to get through this. Because you ultimately get to experience heaven when it comes to take you home. And you see, most understand the cross. Most understand heaven. It's the Pentecost mission that people have a problem with. And so let's take a look at this. It's so different here. In Acts chapter 2, verse 12, it says this, amazed and perplexed, they ask each other, what does this mean? When the people heard on the day of Pentecost, they said, what in the world's going on here? They thought they were drunk. I believe God wants to empower you in three ways, and I'm going to give this to you as we wind this down. Number one, the Holy Spirit empowers me to live righteously. Some of you are living based off of the law given on tablets or something else. And it's weighty. It's like, I got to do this. I can't wear that. I can't say this. I can't do that. Admit this. I'm here. This is what I have. And churches have been bad for doing that. Ten Commandments say, boom, this is this. Don't. Are you laughing in church? You can tell the people who were raised not to clap in church because, like, when people go, you go. They're waiting for lightning bolts to strike them, you know? All right? So some of you were raised in a church where you sat still. You didn't breathe. You didn't move. You just watched. Others, you were raised in one that if you sat still, they had to check your pulse because you were dead. So, I mean, this is where our stuff comes in to all this kind of thing. And many of us have been trying to live empowered by law written on stone. Like, you love God, but you just really don't want to do that. But if you're filled with the Spirit, it begins to write the law on your heart so you don't have to obey it. You want to obey it. It's like someone once said, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and strength, and then do what you please. Because if you truly love the Lord your God that way, you're going to do what pleases him. And it's not going to be weighty. It's going to be what he wants because it's what you want because of your love for him. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9, the Apostle Paul says, you, however, are controlled not by sinful nature, but some of you are saying, oh, yes, I am, but by the Spirit, if the Spirit of God lives in you. If the Spirit of God lives in you, no, you're not. You say, but Jack, I got this. You know, I think, let's go back to our last series. I think it's because you got some strongholds in your mind that are leading you down this path, and the Lord needs, through the power of his Holy Spirit and your actions, to be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And that brings us back to this. God wants to do a transforming work in us. Not living by a set of laws, but by the Spirit of God. It's serving God because you want to, not because you have to. Jesus said the Holy Spirit will guide you into all truth. And the Spirit will help you even make decisions. Isaiah 30, 21 says this. Whether you turn to the right or turn to the left, your ears will hear a voice behind you saying, this is the way, walk in it. Some of you have heard some of the stories before, but like when I was, when I felt a call to do something different and God was calling me to start a church and I didn't know where, when, what, felt in this area, I just kind of like, I was in turmoil. I was all over the place. I felt something, but then I also knew if I did, went this path, that this would happen. And there was like more uncertainty at this path, go this path, and United Methodist Church, continue, get bigger churches, get more money, get more solidity, go ahead, maybe be a superintendent or a bishop or something like that one day, you know, whatever, those kind of things. That was my path. And it was secure. Or to go ahead and try to start a church by meeting in your house. No brainer, right? and I was pulled and conflicted by that time and time again. And I remember going and sitting on the beach. I was in Lewis, Delaware at the time. Went and sat on the beach. And as I was sitting there, I just clearly heard the voice that said, hey, this is of me. This is what I want you to do. Go home and do it. And I heard him say that. And it was like, and I remember meeting with someone who actually said, you know, this is not a bad, this is a bad career move. I said, yep. and so we went there and you know, and here we are today. But even in the midst of that, I want to tell you, I think I told this once, and it's not, I haven't told it a lot, but I had a mentor pastor friend of mine in Lower Delaware, and he knew that I was in this, and he kind of mentored me a little bit through it. And he said, hey, I'm helping with a church down here. It was over near where the speed traps and stuff are. I forget. But anyway, on like not, what's it? It's one in 13 years, like 113 on the other side, like not too far from Seaford, that area, a little bit north of Harrington, kind of like a little bit further north in that area. And he said, hey, you know, this church really needs a pastor and they'd like you to fill in. So we had started here and I filled in. For them 1 week, and I spoke to them. Several people from the church in Lewis had come over. They had heard, and other people were there. And he was there, and he called. We had a good service. You remember this, Melissa? When we went down there, we went down there, had a good service, and the pastor called me during that week and said, "Hey, if you're interested, they would love for you to come down and be the pastor. They have like it was like they had like." 20 acres of land, a new building. They were going to give me a nice housing allowance and all this other kind of stuff. And I was saying, So I could have chose this. And now here's this other thing. And I just remember talking to Melissa and just feeling like God said, no, this is where I want you. This is where I want you. I don't know what happened to that church. I don't know whether it exploded or did whatever else. I don't know whether, not like physically, but I mean like, you know, in the spirit of God. I mean, it might have if I become the pastor, but you know, what I'm saying is, when things sometimes look really good, that may not be what the Holy Spirit wants from you. Amen. And so, you know, and I just was taking note about like what would not be if I had answered that call down there. I think God would have blessed it, but many of us would have never known each other. There may not have been the Haiti ministry that we connected to people down there. The addiction ministry along with Pastor Phil that we put the first you know halfway house may never have been here. All these things may not have been done if I had not listened to God's clear voice. So what I'm saying is God will speak to you when you listen and when you have that. Number two, the Holy Spirit empowers me to live supernaturally. We were not intended to live naturally, and that is hard because we live in a natural world which is really difficult. We were intended to live supernaturally. And the difference between the disciples before Pentecost and after Pentecost is they were filled with the Spirit and they began to live supernaturally. And so what we see is, I'm going to tell you, Jack, Jesus lived a supernatural life. And you know what he told us? He said to us, hey, you will do these things and even greater in my name. Jesus did some amazing stuff supernaturally. But he said, my Spirit will be in you, lead you, guide you, and empower you to do these things that I've done and even greater in my name. So what I'm saying is, it doesn't have to be creepy or spooky or wild. We don't need what I've heard some people call charismania to recognize that, as I said last week, the great physician has not closed up shop. He still does miracles today. And the Holy Spirit is not for show, but for power to do what God needs. Acts chapter 10, verse 38 in the New Living Translation says this, And you know that God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power. And then Jesus went around doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. And he needed power to help him, and he needed power because one of the things that I'm realizing is Jesus did not have an easy life on this earth. Jesus was hated. He was despised. Rumors were spread about him. People spit about him. People beat him about the head. People said all kinds of things about him. They eventually crucified him. And guess what? Here's the good news. You and I can expect the exact same thing by loving him and serving him. But that same spirit that he did the miracles with and that he lived and he became and rose from the dead is the same spirit that lives in you. And that means we win because God wins. 1 Corinthians 2, 4 through 5 says, Paul says, my message and my preaching were not wise with persuasive words, but a demonstration of the Spirit's power, so that your faith might not rest on Jack's jokes. No, on men's wisdom, but on God's power. It's not about what I do and how I put this together. It is always, always, always about the power of God. Because I'm going to tell you over the last year, and recently, I have been attacked and beaten up in ways that you could not imagine. And it's still happening today. And I'm tired. And I'm weary. And I want to throw in the towel. But the spirit that lives within me is greater than that is in the world. And I got to claim that. And I got to believe it. And sometimes living in the natural, it's hard to. But if Jesus said, they hated me first, so they're going to hate you too. So I'm gonna have a Holy Spirit moment right now and say, I am glad that right now I am bearing the scars for the Lord. And if I have to, so that others come and the kingdom is filled with 3,000 people, so be it. If they want to take me out, if they want me to die, so be it. I know where I'm going. What I'm going to say is this. It's not about what I say. I'm going to tell you that is the Holy Spirit's power talking in me today because I don't feel any of that. It's not about a great church. It's about a great God. It's not about a great sermon. It's about a great God. You can be free and healed from any problem that can be fixed, not by might, but by my spirit, says the Lord. Not by might, not by your physical power, but by my spirit, says the Lord. God wants to use his power to empower me supernaturally. And I gotta lean on him big time. And the third thing, the Holy Spirit empowers me to live on mission. We are not just called to go to church and take something and leave. We are called to go and to feed the hungry, to clothe the poor, to combat sex trafficking, to drive out demons in the name of Jesus Christ by the power of the Holy Spirit. Now, because I said that last thing, you're like, uh-oh. It's there in the book. And we're going to talk about being filled in the Spirit next week. So I'm fully ready to get completely beat up more this week. See, we don't exist for ourselves. We exist for the world. Jesus, we're told that God so loved the world, Yet that world was also the one that hated him so much. But it didn't stop him loving them. And we need the power to pull it off. In 1 Thessalonians 1:5, our gospel came to you not simply with words, but also power and with the Holy Spirit and deep conviction. One of the things that has bothered me for years is about the Holy Spirit, about Pentecost, is that people will, it's the packaging. People will pursue the Holy Spirit, and when God dumps out some charisma, some charismata, the gifts upon people, there becomes an elitism or a pride. And they begin to say, I got something you don't. I've actually had people, well, do you speak in tongues? Do you do this? Do you do that? And people ask those questions like it's something that you have something greater than I do. Or they have something greater. They mean something. And what that does is that Satan's great tool to create disunity in the body of Christ. At this church, we have always worked across denominations. We have always worked across lines, all kinds of lines, just to make something happen. I have had conversations with people who are atheists. I've had conversations with people who are agnostic. I have had I've had people who are, charismaniacs, like I said, or people who are just like so far over and legalistic in all kinds of other ways. And all those things bring unity, but we will continue to go. We can find unity in whatever, because guess what? None of us know the mind of God. All I know is that he loves me and he wants to empower me to do a mission in this world. And what I'm going to say is we need 50. We need Pentecost in order to empower us to pursue and have the strength to do what God has called us to do. And we can't do it without him. We can't. We just cannot. One of the saddest things I've ever seen in my life is churches that started on revival and passion and spirit and fervor become churches that become empty and dead. And when we discover all this, I want to tell you, it's not about me and the Holy Spirit. Here's what happens. I want to tell you this statement here. Being filled with the Spirit, and we're going to talk about this next week, but the Holy Spirit doesn't make me better than you. It makes me better than me. Right? The Holy Spirit makes me better than me. As our worship team comes up, I'm gonna just kind of wrap up with something. You know, like when you, I'm flesh and blood. You're flesh and blood. We all have issues. We all have things in life that go on. The Apostle Paul said, I am the worst of all sinners. And if he says he's the worst of all sinners, I say, I'm going to give you some competition, buddy. Right? But the bottom line is, I am a sinner. I am fallen. I am broken. And so are you. Maybe a good day, but all have sinned and fall short of God's glory. Amen. But by the power of Christ, I'm an overcomer. I'm a child of God. I am covered by the blood of the Lamb. I'm empowered by his Holy Spirit. Therefore, no weapon formed against me will prosper. Amen. Not because of me, but because of him. Hold on to it. When it's the last thing you got, hold on to it. All right? So what we need is a Pentecostal experience. We need fire to fall. We need the wind to open up. But more importantly, we need the power to fill us to do what God has called us to. So please stand now as we worship him in song corporately one more time today. Jesus, we love you. You are our God. Sometimes, Lord, I think that we feel that that you're so far removed, that the world is just spinning. And sometimes we're like the disciples in the boat that said, "Oh Lord, don't you even care whether we drown?" And you just stood up out of your slumber and your sleep and said, "Peace be still." So God, right now, I'm just going to ask you for your peace to still the storms in my life and the people's lives around me and the people here and the people in the sound of my voice. The God, that you take what is broken and you put it together. You are the potter. Where the clay, mold us and make us into something great for you. To be filled by your love so that we can have the Passover experience, and that we can realize that death and everything that goes with it, sin and death, has been conquered and must pass away from us. And that with that you'll fill us with your Holy Spirit to overflowing, that we have the power that to combat anything that Satan and the enemy has. And I rebuke the forces of evil, that for wherever we go, that those who are filled with your Spirit, that by their shadow, like it was with Simon Peter, that their shadow, that people will be healed and restored and feel the presence of God, and that all of hell shudders and will flee at the name of Jesus. In our families, you bring peace. In our workplaces, you bring peace. In our friendships, you bring peace. In our churches, God, you bring peace. And when you still those storms, and God, we pray this prayer that has not been prayed enough. Come quickly, Lord Jesus. Because God, I want to fly. I want to fly by and by. I'll fly away. Some glad morning. Oh, could it be today, Lord Jesus, that we could just fly and be present with you. Please come, Lord Jesus. Please come. Because I want to go home. I want to be at home. I want to see the place you got for me, where the mortgage has been paid by the blood of the Lamb and the words of his testimony. And that my name is written in the Lamb's book of life forever and ever. So Lord God, empower us like you did with your servants some 2,000 plus years ago. And fill us to overflowing. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen and amen.
There is nothing worth more that will ever come close. Nothing can compare. You're our living hope. Your presence, Lord. I've tasted and seen of the sweetest of loves, where my heart becomes free and my shame is undone. Your presence, Lord. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Come flood this place and fill the atmosphere. Your glory, God, is what our hearts long for, to be overcome by your presence, Lord. Your presence, Lord. There is nothing worth more that will ever come close. Nothing can compare. You're a living hope. Your presence, Lord. I've tasted and seen of the sweetest of loves, where my heart becomes free and my shame is undone. Your presence, Lord. Holy Spirit, you are welcome. Come flood this place and fill the atmosphere. Your glory, God, is what our hearts long for, to be overcome by your presence, Lord. Your presence, Lord. Let us become more aware of your presence. Let us experience the glory of your goodness.
Let us become more aware of your presence. Let us experience the glory of your goodness. Let us become more aware of your presence. Let us experience glory of your goodness. Let us become more aware of your presence. Let us experience the glory of your goodness, Lord.
Holy Spirit, you are welcome. Here, sing it out. Come flood this place and fill the atmosphere. Your glory, God, is what our hearts long for, to be overcome by your presence, Lord.
Amen. Thank you, Jesus. We thank you that, you're filling us. And that's what we're going to talk about next week. We're going to talk about fill her up. And so, Lord, I'm just asking during this week, I'm praying for every individual in the sound of my voice, that God, you will go ahead and give them Passover. That if somebody does not know you as their Lord and Savior, that they will realize that what you did on the cross helps death pass over them and away from them. So, God, I pray that anything that is out for anybody this week, that God, you're that they will accept you and lean on that salvation. God, I also pray for Pentecost, that you'll give strength for this week. And God, if this is our last service here because you're coming back, so be it. We'll see each other in heaven. Save a seat for me there. And God, we will worship you and we give you praise. So this week, we give you praise in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. See you next week for Fill Her Up.